This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Is Brock Purdy the reason, or is everybody else the reason?
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Look, it's kind of the same old story. I get annoyed by this. It's my problem, so whatever. If you get annoyed by it, great. If you don't, you don't. Whatever. I just think it's funny in the NFL that there is even a concept that exists of anyone only being good because of what's happening around them. I think that's a weird thing to think. That's me.
Well, I think it's weird to think that it wouldn't be the other way around. Like, what player on a really bad team in football goes out there and is just awesome?
Right. Like, I thought that was that statement you just heard. It's kind of disrespectful to the Ravens. It is. Oh, does Lamar Jackson have any good players around him? Crap times.
Yeah.
Like, what? You don't think there are any good players? Mark Andrews is not a great tight end the same way Brock Purdy has George Kittle. He's not good. Mark Andrews is not good.
Derrick Henry.
Is Brock Purdy the reason, or is everybody else the reason?
Derrick Henry, good little running back?
The answer is neither. Neither is my answer. Or both. Like how? But you can't have the tweener. There's no such thing as a quarterback who just goes for a ride. That doesn't exist. And
it's rare.
And there's no such thing as a quarterback that goes, all right, these other 52 people, they suck, but watch this. Like, doesn't exist.
Yeah, Trent Dilfer went on a bit of a ride when they won the Super Bowl in Baltimore.
Yeah,
but that's like one of one.
But Shannon Sharp did what on the sideline? He yelled Trent Dilfer for president because whoever, and I can't even remember who it was who started the year as the Ravens quarterback, couldn't get it done. It was going the wrong way. You have to at least be able to hold this thing together. You have to be able to make some good throws. You have to be able to function out there. Is it easier for some than others? I mean, the Ravens, for example, the Dilfer year you're talking about, they were barely even asked to go out there and score. Their defense was so electric. Okay. But the Niners don't have that. The Niners defense that was really good a couple years ago, it wasn't that good. It wasn't Baltimore Ravens Ray Lewis level good, in my opinion. And, you know, he mentioned the Buffalo Bills. So, like, okay, so James Cook's not a good running back? He's not. All of the Daltons are not good tight ends.
Right.
You know what I mean? The Bills, they spent a lot of money at the start of the year, at least on their defense. Like, I don't know. They went out and drafted a bunch of wide receivers, and then they traded for Amari Cooper. And prior to that, they had Stephon Diggs. These aren't, I don't know, these aren't good players. So I'm willing to split the difference with you. I've never sat here and said that Brock Purdy is any of those quarterbacks. But I don't think it exists, the idea that someone can play quarterback in the NFL and just have a really good player at every other position, and therefore that's what makes the whole thing go. I just don't think that exists.
Yeah, it's pretty rare. And the answer is Tony Banks was the quarterback for the first eight games.
Tony Banks.
5-3 as a starter, and then Dilfer goes 7-1. And in those games, just looking at, they won 13-7. They've got a 24-3, a 21-3 in the playoffs. They basically were not expected to score. Just go out there, don't throw a pick six, and, you know, do what you can to get us into field goal range a couple of times, and we'll do the rest. Yeah. It's not to diminish Trent Dilfer, Bay Area guy who is a Super Bowl champ, but that's one of the rare times where the quarterback was not asked to do an extraordinary amount.
I mean, he brought up Tua. He goes, Tua has shown flashes. Wait a minute. Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle? We're not doing that there. I mean, I don't know. With the way it actually looks now, it's funny because we would go, Purdy's got this all-star team around him, and I get it. 2 years ago, Christian McCaffrey was like offensive player of the year level.
Right, right.
But when you look at Purdy's, quote, wide receiver core right now, goes through a little bit of a different lens, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Right? Like all of a sudden, when it went into that year, and you're like, and he's got Debo, and he's got Brandon. And then last year, you're like, whoa. Right.
Well, he had third and Juwan a couple of years ago, too.
Well,
now he's your one.
And he almost was a 1,000-yard receiver. It's funny the way people look at it. They go, oh, Debo and Brandon went out and the whole thing cratered. No, actually, it didn't. It didn't. The analytics will tell you it didn't. I'm not here to say that he played as well last year. He clearly didn't. But the offense absolutely still functioned. And with receivers who we didn't think, I'll raise my hand, I didn't think Juwan Jennings could go out there and look like that, but then suddenly he did. You know, so with basically nothing from Brandon and a very, very off year from Debo Samuel, there's no questioning which was the worst side of the ball last year, and it was unequivocally the defense. You cannot argue otherwise. You cannot argue otherwise. So that's all. I just, the whole thing is always shared. Brock absolutely shares in the disappointment from last year. But if you want to go back to the year before, you don't get to be like, well, yeah, Brock just hopped on the back of a buggy and Christian McCaffrey took the 49ers to the Super Bowl. That does not work that way.
15 year in terms of quarterback rating all time, the Brock Purdy season. And he was the front runner for MVP until Christmas when he had a bad game against Baltimore and he did not win the MVP. I think he wound up fifth, right, in the voting?
He did.
He was top five in the MVP voting. But this year coming up is a year where he's going to have to, it looks like, play better in the offense and do more in an offense where you're not going to have Brandon Ayuk likely until, I don't know, October at the earliest, and you don't have Debo. He's gone. You've got a young wide receiver core, and now Juwan Jennings is going to probably be wide receiver one unless you make some other additions. You get McCaffrey back, and TJ Houshmandzadeh was saying, yeah, George Kittle probably is going to be your one in the passing game, but Brock Purdy's going to have to do a lot with a lesser cast of characters this year.
Check this out. Like, these are back-to-back texts on our text line right now. One of them, 510, I think this is a great point, you know, because he says now Jalen Hurts is underpaid. He goes, Jalen Hurts has A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Saquon Barkley.
Right.
Doesn't even bring up their tight end situation, which is also
and Dallas Goedert
way above average. And he goes, but somehow Jalen Hurts is underpaid? And he's doing it by himself, right? Very next text is about the Bills, 707. Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox were on milk cartons. James Cook is nowhere near a McCaffrey, Debo, or Kittle, or a BA. Now, here's where I'd argue back on that. Go back to last year and take it from someone who had James Cook on a fantasy team. James Cook last year was absolutely better than a McCaffrey, a Debo, or a BA. because McCaffrey barely played last year.
Yeah.
Debo wildly disappointing. B.A. also totally missing. James Cook has an unbelievable year. And guess what happens? Josh Allen wins the MVP. And we go, wow, Josh is doing it all by himself. Look, the bottom line is all roads lead to the same thing. And TJ admitted it. If you really listen closely to the conversation, we're still having the same draftism conversation.
Exactly.
He said it out loud. He goes, yeah. Trevor Lawrence got paid because of where he got picked. And so did Tua, and that's the way it works. Fine, then let's accept it and just admit that we all suffer from draftism, and then we go from there.
Well, that's why I was asking him about, you know, GMs who do this because they don't want to be proven that the draft pick was a mistake. So, and I know regimes change a lot before you actually get a chance to ink a guy to his second contract, but you draft a guy with number one overall, and he's good. Trevor Lawrence has been good. Last year he was not good, but he's gone to the playoffs, and he's been a good enough quarterback, and he checks the boxes, 6'6", and number one overall. So, yeah, it's easy to go out and give him a deal that resets the market, and Brock Purdy is, TJ's right, I think. He's going to suffer from the draftism until he goes out there and does something special, right, like win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Gio, if Brock would just do something special.
Well, he has one more thing to do, win the Super Bowl.
I know.
I mean, he's been to the Super Bowl, and even that is not enough. In some corners, I was looking at Pro Football Focus today, and they did their top 32 quarterback rankings, and they did it by tier, and Brock Purdy's in, I think, tier 3A, and he's ranked number 11. Geno Smith is ranked number 10.
Okay.
And this was one person who used a lot of the PFF rankings, but also put in some of his own personal judgments and opinions into the piece as well, and he's got Brock Purdy at 11. And you could, I could look at that and go, 11? I probably have him a little bit higher, but, you know, and TJ even said it, like the top four guys, pretty ironclad, and then, you know, the next four, depending on how you feel, like Matthew Stafford's a guy who came in ahead of him, and, you know, he's done more in his career. He is getting a little bit older. Jared Goff was slightly ahead of him, and, you know, you start to get into a spot where you could put Brock Purdy 7, 6, 7, 8. I don't know if you'd put him much lower than 12, but it's just, as you see these rankings, and I won't even go to the ringer, Stephen Ruiz, who had him at like, what, 19 or 20.
He realized very early on that he could get invited on every radio show in America and get a ton of clicks if he just kept doing that to Brock every week. Every week. It was like, oh, he had a good game. So he went up from 24 to 23. He's still behind people who have not even played a game yet. But hey, let's do this because I get all sorts of attention. So I think we all get that. By the way, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. We're going to go to the phones. I got the Giannis thing. And by the way, before we leave today, I got something that is kind of non-sports but I need help with it.
Okay.
And there's not a human being listening to the show that won't relate to this. It's about grades. It's about the grades that we get in school.
Okay.
Okay. And I have two different situations, and I need to handle both of them before I go to bed tonight.
So grades that you have to give.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Yeah.
Because not like all of us got grades.
Right.
But very few of us then get the opportunity to be the one giving the grades.
Yeah.
Well, no, but we always, right? Like, you're always ticked. You're like, this teacher, right? Like, put it this way. If you got in a class, like the metrics laid it all the way out, and you got an 89.8 in the class.
Yeah.
Did you get an A- or did you get a B+?
B+.
Okay.
I'm from the old school.
More on that in just a sec. More on that. But let's go out to the phones. Jonathan in the city. Hi, Jonathan. Thank you for calling. What's up?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. And thanks for taking my phone call. Hey, I got no problem with the money. You know, that's the going rate, like I said before in the call. And, you know, it's kind of like tires in your car. It's going to, you know, if you need a set of four, depending on your make and model, it's going to run you at least $1,000+. And even if you don't like it, you can't do away with that because you can't run on rims only. But my problem is the things that I need Brock to improve on, I don't think it's ever going to happen. Like, how do we feel when they're facing a playoff game in the rain? You know, those hands are never going to grow bigger. And also,
I mean,
what do we do if we need just one shot and it's 50, 60 yards away and we need a Hail Mary?
I mean, Jonathan, is
he
it
can throw it 60 yards?
Is it unfair when you say what happens if they have to play a playoff game in the rain? And the first thing that goes through my head is they already did. And they won. And in fact, they were down with 3 minutes to go and he got the ball in his hands. And it took the team around the field and they got a touchdown. What, like, can I not say that, Jonathan?
You know what? I think I'm too much into the last year, so I can't remember that. But I will rewatch so I could have my memory back all with the, you know, the good times. Because it's just last year, it's kind of like, you know, it's just hovering, you know, like the things we've seen with brothers, like, bro, don't tell me this is you. Please be better next year. Go Niners.
Yeah, no, fair enough, Jonathan. And, you know, I put that on everybody. That to me was an everybody thing. And, you know, it's kind of my point. I don't think that the quarterback drags his team to being good. And I don't think that the quarterback gets dragged to being good. And that goes for being bad too. You know what I mean? Like if you're bad, then the quarterback, you're part of the bad. But like it's a little too all or nothing for me to do that. I will freely admit it's the most important position in sports, but I'm not going to do the, like, again, my favorite way of looking at this is to look backwards instead of forwards, right?
Okay.
Would you feel good about the quarterback position if you had been paying $53 million a year for what you've already gotten for the last 3 years?
I'd feel okay.
I'd feel good.
After last year, I would be a little bit troubled.
Less.
Because that was not a $53 million performance that he or they put out. 2 years ago, yeah. As I mentioned, he had one of the 15 best quarterback rating seasons, and you went to the Super Bowl. And the year before that, you went to the conference championship game, and he had his arm ripped off. So if it was a three years into a six-year deal, and that was the first 3 years, I would say two birdies and a bogey?
Yeah.
So you're one under in golf parlance.
Right.
And you, I mean, I was damn near an eagle when you went to the Super Bowl.
Right, yeah.
You almost chipped in, but it lipped out and you had a tap in birdie.
But you're not feeling buyer's remorse.
No.
You're not like, oh God, what are we doing?
No, but you're looking at this year as a year where, all right, Brock, this is year four of this big contract. I'm looking for you to get back and the team to get back to where you were. And now that it's the first year of his big deal, whatever he's already done in the past, that's in the past. Now this is the big money era for Brock Purdy. You got to go out there and prove it.
Let's go to Bobby in Los Altos. Hi, Bobby. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. Listen, I don't think Brock really cares, but, I mean, he is in a kind of a knowing situation in terms of fan expectations. I mean, the difference between Brock and, I guess, all these other quarterbacks that you named, these middling quarterbacks that are made more, is that those franchises have no record of sustained success, so they feel like their only hope is to placate a Lawrence. You know, he caught lightning in a bottle, right? That last playoff game against the Chargers, whatever, 2 years ago, skyrocketed him, right? And then Tua, you know, the cheetah basically made him $50 million a year. So those teams have no sustained record of success, though. The fans just feel like, hey, man, we gotta hold on to this guy because it's the best chance we're going to get. But the fact is with the Niners, they've had a sustained record of success, and they've already gone to the Super Bowl with what some would consider a very middling quarterback, which would be Garoppolo. So, I mean, he can't win because they're going to – if they don't do well, they're going to blame Brock Purdy, and we're never going to know how bad – this team could be if Brock wasn't there, because obviously he signed this extension. Look, and I don't feel bad for Brock. He doesn't feel bad. If he wants extra guacamole on his sandwich, he can afford it now, right? So I think we're good there. But I just feel like he's in a no-win situation, and I don't really think it is really – what did you call it, draftism? I don't think it's that anymore. I think it's just the fact that the Niners have been so good, and you had it so good with this guy that made $1 million – you just feel like, hey, I used to get something for $1 million and now I don't. You know, I used to buy eggs for $2 a dozen, and let's say something catastrophic happens and it's $30 a dozen. Well, the fact is I probably am still going to buy eggs. I'm not going to be happy about it, and I'm going to think, man, these eggs aren't any better than the eggs I had when I bought them for $2. So he just can't win, and I just hope the fan base comes around to appreciating that he actually is a very talented quarterback. Clearly he's a top 10 quarterback, and if they want to blame him for the personnel struggles or the other people around him, there's nothing he can do, and that's just a burden he has to face being the franchise quarterback.
Bobby, thank you. I think in this conversation, by the way, you can dismiss draftism. I think it's undismissible. I think it's literally the thing that all of this whole conversation orbits around. That it is the thing around which all of this orbits. It is the baseline for why someone like Brock Purdy becomes a controversial figure, and Tua, for example, or Trevor Lawrence doesn't even really get discussed. And I know that they're in markets and with brands that are not as big as the 49ers, but the seventh round draft pick thing is unmistakable and unescapable as far as the baseline for the conversation and why we do it. Why people can literally have an opinion that's all the way over here, like, ooh, he's really good, and all the way over here, oh, he's a product of his environment, he sucks. And normal thinking smart people are all coming to the party with those opinions, seemingly on a week by week basis throughout his career right now. But to me, and it's funny that we just had TJ on to talk about this, the end card, the mic drop in this, when he says, dude, if things go on bad around you, but if you're a highly paid quarterback, you need to rise up, grab everybody, and take them with you. Well, TJ brought up the Bengals defense this year. They're very, very bad. That's correct. Okay, so, Joe Burrow, with everything going on around you, at $58 million a year, and the number one overall pick in the draft, well, you'll still grab that team and bring them to the playoffs by yourself. Right?
Not quite. They went 9-8.
Yes.
And
they went 9-8.
Led the league in touchdowns, and he led the league in yards and yards per game. And so,
but that's the point. Why did they?
That's my point about all this.
You still didn't go to the playoffs, even though he played phenomenal. You still didn't go.
And the teams that did go to the playoffs, you can't just look at the quarterback and say, well, that was the guy. And even think about Kansas City. And not a lot of us can name every player on the Kansas City Chiefs offense, but they have a good offense, they have a great coach, and they have the best quarterback in football. Does that mean that Mahomes is doing it solely by himself? Of course not. They've got Andy Reid, they've got a lot of talent around him, they've got a really good offensive line. Don't tell the Eagles defense that, because they went right through them in the Super Bowl, but it's always going to be complimentary football. And the Chiefs' offense is still good in part because their defense is really good.
Right.
Mahomes, which puts them in a position. And the Cincinnati example is a good one. Joe Burrow had an amazing year. He's got two, if not three, of the best receivers in football. They score a bunch of points. They went 9-8.
Yeah.
Because their defense is terrible.
And Mahomes did not have a great statistical year. So explain this to me. One goes to the Super Bowl on a bad year. The other one has a great year and doesn't even make the playoffs. And they're two of the top four quarterbacks we always talk about. So, I don't know. I mean, maybe this is a little bit more of a team sport than we like to talk about.
Right.
Just maybe. Jay in Oakland is next up. We're going to get to the Giannis thing here in a little bit. Hey, Jay, what's going on? Thanks for calling.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, I'm about to head to the range. I need some tips. I know you guys are a straight shooter, so I need some tips.
Let's see. I mean, how experienced are you, Jay? Just keep your head down.
You got it. About a playing for about a year and a half.
Yeah.
You know, good days and bad days is what I'm experiencing.
Keep your head down and release the hounds, man. Follow through. Finish that swing.
Yeah.
Got it.
Okay.
Hey, I want to just add a quick comment about the whole Brock thing. I kind of feel bad for Brock. I mean, happy that he got paid. I think it's definitely worthwhile.
or I think is definitely he's definitely worthy of it. But I feel like we're going to judge him on a different scale, how you guys kind of mentioned. And he went to bed one or two games, and then we're going to look at him completely different just because of the amount of money he's making. And you just ask any rational Cowboys fan, do they have buyer's remorse with Dak? And I hope this doesn't turn into a whole Dak situation again.
Well, that's yeah, Jay, thanks.
Thanks, Jay.
I don't know about I don't even know about the possibility of it turning into a Dak situation. I am not an expert on the Cowboys cap, but I can tell you what it feels like the way they've played it. And I don't know why this doesn't get talked about more. When people talk about contract, oh gosh, you're not going to have any room for anybody else. Here's the tail of the tape. The Niners did their deal with Purdy, and within the same month, they re-upped Fred Warner. They read up George Kittle and sit here today with number two in cap space in the whole NFL for this year. That's the tail of the tape. So what the hell's the problem? Meantime, the Cowboys signed Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb and seemingly can't afford rice cakes. Like, I don't know that to be true, but they didn't sign anyone last year. They signed no one. They had no running game. And I don't even know what they're planning to do with Micah Parsons. So, I mean, that's the team that seemingly handcuffed themselves. The Niners don't seem to have handcuffed themselves at all.
It's because of the structure of the deal. And it's 3 years where most of the guaranteed money will be given to Brock Purdy. And after that, you can go ahead and make the move if you want to move off of Brock Purdy or restructure the contract. Just looking at Dak's deal, 4 years, $240 million, $60 million per. And 129 was fully guaranteed at signing. His cap hit this year is 50.5. Next year, this according to SpotTrack, $74 million cap hit. $74
million. Good Lord.
The base will be $40 million. The signing bonus, the proration, the restructure. The year after that, it's only $68 million. So if you look at like what you're trying to do, according to this, next year, it'll be a 24% of their cap will be Dak.
Damn.
And that's, assuming that the cap doesn't go up, but that gives you a ballpark of Dak's going to be 1/4 of your cap. One guy. Well, one quarterback.
I mean, if we listen to TJ, who says that guys who are overpaid and they're not, their production doesn't match their dollar amount, they straight make fun of them and they say it right to their face. I wonder what all the Cowboys are saying directly to Dak's face. He got that huge deal and then missed most of the season. And he will come back this year, and God bless him, with CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens. Let's see it. But, boy, the division got a hell of a lot tougher. The Eagles righted themselves, and now Jaden Daniels is playing for the rival Commanders. So, good luck, yep. Dude. Good luck that situation.
And the cap hits, if they wanted to do something different, are astronomical for Dak Prescott. So they're kind of stuck. So for Brock, it's a lot of money, but the way you're able to do it and structure it cash-wise, it's after 3 years. You could get out from underneath it if you wanted to.
Let's go to Bob in the city. Hi, Bob. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
Hey, Bob.
I love it. How you doing? Hey, so anyway, it's the same old sad story. All these guys are against Brock because they don't look at his tape. Just look at his tape. When he got into the preseason, he marched the team down the field. First time, boom. And you know why? Because he's a four-year college quarterback. He's ahead. He was ahead of a lot of guys that come out of college, just based on his experience alone. Then, not that it was his fault or anything, but all these other guys got injured. And when he was put in, he succeeded. So he's a winner. And whatever these guys are talking about, I don't understand. I love Huzmanzada, but I just think he's wrong. that's it.
Yeah, Bob, I think I think you and I agree. I think Dibs agrees. I think it's one of the reasons we had him on, because we wanted to talk it out a little bit. I know who would win this poll if we threw this up on our platforms and said, with this new deal, which 49ers money is more out of whack? Brock Purdy or Brandon Ayuk? I know what 49er fans would vote for on that one. There's no question.
Yeah. A little unfair because Ayuk is out with two torn ligaments in his knee.
Well, I mean, welcome to football.
That's right. That's right.
You know what I mean? Like, I think it's a little unfair to be like, nope, no. Two NFC title game appearances in 3 years as the last pick in the draft. That doesn't warrant $53 million. You have to win the Super Bowl or else this is a bad deal. I think that's unfair.
Just the idea that where he was drafted affects how much he should then command. I know it's the reality on the other end where you get a top guy, a first-round guy, and yeah, those guys are going to get paid, but just because Brock Purdy was Mr. Irrelevant doesn't mean that you shouldn't reward him for what he's done and also have expectations to where it doesn't matter where you were drafted anymore. You don't go to the line of scrimmage and get a break because you were Mr. Irrelevant. You're the quarterback of the 49ers. Go out there and make things happen and win the game. At that point, draftism doesn't apply.
Let's go to Clay in Burlingame. Hi, Clay. Thank you for calling.
Hey, guys. Always enjoyed the show.
Thank you.
I want to make a comment on Brock Purdy's contract. I don't really think it's the player's fault if a team is willing to pay them that amount. I always look at it as day-to-day value is what somebody's willing to pay for it. Now, the 49ers wanted to pay him that money, and you guys may be able to correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't know if there's any other team who was showing interest in him that might pull under the rug from the Niners. And if we're bidding against ourselves and they think that his body work is worth that much money, then it's on the team. And then also just to mention Dak Prescott's contract, I don't think anyone from Texas or any Cowboys fan agrees that he's worth that money. So I don't know if it would have been possible that they offered Brock, say, in the $40 million range, and maybe that's not even in the conversation. But again, it's up to the team. And then also with regard to the draftism, I had to check. There are a few quarterbacks that were never drafted that played well in the league and are in the Hall of Fame, right? So, Kurt Warner, Warren Moon,
sure.
To a lesser extent, Jeff Garcia, right? Tony Romo, even though he didn't really win anything. But then, yeah, Mr. Irrelevant is still, you know, last pick of the draft. There are some players who never got picked, and they had a strong career in the NFL. So that shouldn't even be a factor anymore, I don't think.
Right, but somehow, Clay, it still is. And that's kind of the point. Like, I think, you know, you bring up Kurt Warner's name, and that he went through the same stuff. The difference with Kurt is, like, he won the Super Bowl in his first year of relevance. So we never had that angst of, who is this guy that the Rams are turning their team over to, and whether or not should they go all in on him? It was like from the moment Kurt Warner arrived, they went out, they won the Super Bowl, and that was it. That was it. Like, you didn't have to debate whether or not you wanted to keep Kurt Warner or anything like that because he was a Super Bowl champ from the moment that that he walked onto the scene. But I can also tell you, and maybe this had to do with his stature, like his physical stature. He walked into obviously a great team, had an unbelievable receiving core, Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt and all of this, the great Marshall Faulk, greatest show on turf. I don't remember people looking at Kurt Warner and going, oh, he's just being dragged to this Super Bowl. That's not what happened. People looked at him and went, wow, what an incredible story. This guy's really good. We missed him. We missed on him. We missed on him. He was bagging groceries.
Yeah.
And we missed on him.
Everyone missed on him. And it was, like you're saying, a byproduct of a good coach and an even better system. Mike Martz was an offensive coordinator who was great. And you mentioned the greatest show on turf. And so Kurt Warner didn't have to carry a team that had multiple Hall of Famers, one of the best running backs ever, and especially at the peak of his game and the rest of it. So Kurt Warner just went out there and was good. And then he was really good. But you're right. He didn't have to go out there and do it and do it again and do it again. And then he got the big contract and all of the controversy and all of the hype around whether or not he could go out there and be that guy. Also, there wasn't nearly the level of scrutiny that there is now. This was 1999.
Sure.
So 26 years ago, the internet was just at its nascent stage and there was limited sports talk radio and you know, you had a newspaper and the rest of it. So now the cycle of commentary and of everything scrutiny happens a lot more and so much faster.
No doubt. Similar to the NBA trade machine, if you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, now, yeah.
Okay.
Did you heat that thing up?
Well, I did, but only in a sort of mythical conceptual sort of way. Because obviously, if the Warriors are going to do anything this offseason, it seems like a sign and trade with Jonathan Kuminga might be kind of high on the list in terms of major financial maneuvers that they could make. So I'm driving around listening to Signing Goo earlier today, and somebody calls in and he goes, let's walk through the process. We know that the players talk to each other. So Giannis calls Steph and goes, I'd love to play with you. And remember, the Giannis thing, the whole backdrop of is that Giannis needs to tell the Bucks, I want to go to the Warriors. Not I want to be traded. I want to go play with Steph. And he goes, all right, let's role play. Giannis calls Steph, says, I want to play with you. Steph says, great. Great, this is going to be amazing. We're going to be really good next year. He goes, yeah, especially with you, me, and Jimmy Butler. And Steph goes, oh, no. No, Jimmy won't be here anymore. Oh, well, that's all right. We'll still have a major championship presence and a defensive anchor in Draymond Green. And Steph goes, oh, no. No, Draymond won't be here. And he goes, oh, well, that's all right. You know who I really like? I really like this young up-and-coming kid that you have, the 22-year-old who flies, Jonathan Kuminga. Steph goes, oh, yeah, about that. He's not going to be here either.
Oh, he's gone too.
And I'm like, I almost called the show. I'm like,
show.
How much money do you think Giannis makes? Jimmy Butler and Giannis make the exact same amount, just the two of them. You're putting Draymond's 25 in.
Yep.
In theory, Jonathan's a sign and trade worth, I don't know what.
You 25.
Okay, 20. So there, we're now over $100 million in outgoing contracts. So let's start with, that ain't legal. But secondly, it inspired me. I'm like, I'm going to send a message to, people don't know this, Willard and Dibbs have a silent capologist partner.
Mm.
And so I said, I'm going to send him a message to find out how this would actually work. And so before I read what he said, what is your initial reaction to the idea of, if the Warriors were going to go get Giannis, would Jimmy Butler be involved or not?
Jimmy Butler, to me, would most likely be involved.
Okay.
Unless the Bucks are really smitten with Jonathan Kuminga, because you could do, Draymond makes 25.9. If you sign Kuminga to a sign and trade for, let's just say, 25.1, which brings us to 51 million, you could throw in some filler to make it work money wise with Giannis. So they would get Draymond, they would get Kuminga, they would get a throw in player, and also two or three first round picks.
Okay.
That's the way I would see the Bucks saying, okay, we'll take three firsts and a couple of pick swaps and Kuminga, who we like,
mm-hmm.
Draymond, who we like Draymond, but he's a declining player, and we'll take your filler and we'll do that trade.
Okay. What if I, just for fun, what if I threw this at you? No, not Draymond either. Not Draymond either. He also stays.
Okay.
Bucks don't want 35-plus-year-old players at all. Okay.
Right. That at least would be a tradable asset to another team. I mean, yep. If we're talking about a multi-team trade, but I'm listening.
Okay. So what if the Bucks said, no, all we want is picks and youth. That's it. And the Warriors say, all right, well, we need to give you one thing just for money purposes. Because let's say if Jonathan in a sign and trade, that's 25 or 30
sure.
Right there. Giannis is 54. So you got to get up over 54. Well, Moses Moody now is going to make about 12 or 13.
Yep, 11 and a half, but
right.
I'm with you.
Okay, so let's get Moses in there, and we're up in the neighborhood of $40 million. We need about 14 more million dollars. Brandon Pajemski makes three or four. So let's go ahead and put Brandon Pajemski in there, And let's see, do we have another player in there that's making somewhere in the neighborhood of almost $10 million, maybe $8 or $9 million?
My name's Buddy.
Buttered, Healed, and the draft capital. So, in theory, Giannis comes and none of Steph, Jimmy, or Draymond go. And what I wanted to know was, is that possible? Because what I hear constantly under the new CBA is, well, you can't do three huge contracts and have any maneuverability at all.
Yet Phoenix did this year. And I don't know how much maneuverability they actually had. Probably not much.
Not much. And obviously their season went completely awry. But I asked, and here is essentially the answer. Could the Warriors do Giannis as an acquisition without giving up Steph, without giving up Jimmy, and without giving up Draymond? And could you put all four of them together? And would that be attractive to Giannis Antetokounmpo? And the answer as to whether or not you can do it, yeah, you sure can. Here's basically how it will work. It'd be very, very similar to what the Warriors in the end had to do in the acquiring of Kevin Durant. There would probably have to be a renouncing of this or that contract, but the bottom line is this. You would automatically, if you aggregate contracts, what the Warriors would be doing, it'd be an aggregation sensation.
Mm-hmm.
You send that out to get Giannis, and it would lock you in as a second apron. Hard cap team. I know these words confuse everybody, us too, so who cares? Here's the bottom line. Your salary cap would be hard at 207.8. Well, I added up Giannis and Jimmy and Steph and Draymond, and it would leave about $15 million to go fill out the rest of your roster. So you would have to be basically a bunch of young minimum players. Maybe you still get the mid-level, I have no idea. Go get yourself a DeAnthony Melton or something like that. Is that interesting to people? Like, if Giannis said, I want to go to the Warriors, would you give up not just Kuminga, everything young, all of them, everybody out the door, and make the whole team these big four players? Steph, Jimmy, Giannis, and Draymond. And then just put a bunch of whatever around them to fill out the roster. Go get a vet min 7-footer and stick him out there, or whatever you want to do. Does that sound viable? And then just make these last 2 years what they are, and then in 2 years you start over with a bunch of cap space and Giannis.
Yeah, I mean, you start over with Giannis, and that's assuming that Steph Curry is no longer going to be on the team, and that assumes that, you know, Draymond will be done and all the rest of it. Jimmy Butler too, but it's interesting. I don't know if it necessarily makes you good enough to be a viable threat. And I'm looking at the roster, and you have Gee, you have a team option. He's making 2.2. Quentin Post would make 1.9. So these are the guys you'd be looking at. Pat Spencer is making $438,000. He would need a new deal. You could pay him a small pittance. Kevin Knox, another guy who's making nothing. Maybe you bring back Kevon and GP2 on veteran minimums type deals. And so, you know, you're very top heavy, one of the most top heavy teams in NBA history. And when you get into that second apron, there's a lot of things that you can no longer do. And if you're in there 2 years in a row, then you start losing draft picks and the rest of it. So the idea of, you know, when they're gone, you reload. You probably won't have any picks.
Oh no!
At that point.
No! You wouldn't have. Yeah, no picks.
So you're looking at a two year journey to see if this could work. It'd be pretty damn exciting.
Oh, it's wildly irresponsible, but it's a ton of fun. It's a ton of fun. It's a trip to the Caribbean when you don't have a job.
Yeah,
it is.
It's like
wildly,
a bender to Vegas,
yes,
when you know you're down to your last $20 and you don't have your rent check.
Right.
But the heck with it. We're going anyway.
I love what you just said. You got $100 left. You're down on your luck. You don't know how you're going to make the bills. And you go, well, I could just go put this $100 and bet it on black. See if I could turn it into 200. That's exactly what it would be.
Yeah.
But it'd be fun.
It would be fun. I mean, it's definitely an approach. And I mean, think if you're Milwaukee and you're looking at this, a couple things would have to be in place. One, Giannis says, trade me to Golden State. That's the only place I want to go. But if you're Milwaukee, you got to really like Jonathan Kuminga. He's got to be something that you are really excited by.
Right.
And I know you're getting picks, but no matter where you trade Giannis, that team's going to have to give you multiple picks.
Absolutely. But remember, the premise to this whole thing is that Giannis tells the Bucks, Golden State.
Yeah.
You don't get to talk to anybody else. I will go nowhere else. Golden State. So, yes, I think that this is all fairyland.
It is big time.
But I have no idea what he's going to say. Maybe he will. He has flirted with Steph Curry before.
Right.
I have no idea what he's going to say. Yeah. I do think he's going to ask for a trade.
I do too. It seems and now more than ever before, he's done his time there. And even if he were to leave, even if he were to come out and say, I want Milwaukee to trade me, I think you're looking at very minimal backlash. He stayed in Milwaukee.
Oh, totally
agree.
He won
a title in Milwaukee. Yes. Like even Dame, when he left Portland, okay, Dame, you were here for what, 12, 13 years? You did your bid. I get that. You want to go somewhere else? Personally, I would not have hard feelings. And he didn't win a title. Giannis did.
Yep.
So how's a Bucks fan going to look at Giannis and say, well,
no, it's going to be fine. And then, the other teams that people say, oh, these are the teams who could win a bidding war. I personally don't think Giannis is going to be interested in that. You know, San Antonio and Houston, everything I've heard is that Giannis has an eye for the big city and the big market. And if you've spent your entire career in Wisconsin, I get it. As an NBA player, I would want to test some other things. And by the way, I don't know if that's a check mark in the favor of San Francisco or not. I mean, obviously we're a big market. We're a very, very big market, but we are not New York. We are not the Knicks, and we are not the Lakers. And would those things interest him more? I don't know. I obviously don't know. But the premise is, he says, send me to Golden State. The other deal that would work is if you just send Jimmy Butler for him and a bunch of picks. That would work too. You can do that. I don't know if that would interest Milwaukee, but that's money that they get out of early and get a bunch of draft capital. So maybe. Maybe.
Yeah, for me, it comes down to how they feel about Jonathan Kuminga, because no matter what happens with a Giannis trade, there's going to be many, many picks involved. First-round picks and pick swaps. And
totally.
If you're Milwaukee and you're going to do this, you're doing it for two reasons. One, Giannis says, I don't want to be here anymore. But the second reason is you need to do the rebuild. And if you're going to do the rebuild and you look at the NBA playoffs and you look at the Oklahoma City Thunder and you go, wow, they did that. They traded Paul George for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and a bucket of picks. And they had all the picks, and they used them wisely. They traded some. And so OKC, 4 or 5 years later, you're now the best team in basketball. So if you're Milwaukee, that's really the only way you can go about it is to do it that way.
Somebody brought this up the other day, that if the Pacers play the Thunder in the NBA Finals, kind of the Paul George trade bowl. It's like both of these teams were built off of trading Paul George.
Wow.
That's how they were built. So the Warriors should have gotten him this offseason and then traded him. And then they could have gone to the NBA Finals too. Let's go to Rich in Fremont. Hi, Rich. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Well, somebody brought this up.
Hey, Rich, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, man.
All right,
sorry, man. I'm just in traffic.
Let's
I'm
ride.
In traffic, man.
Yeah, all good.
All right. So this is the problem I have with your take, is that you're giving up all these young guys to get Giannis, and the four is only going to give you maybe two seasons after that. All right. So it's like, if you don't make anything happen in those two seasons, Draymond's probably going to be gone. I don't know if they can re-sign Butler. And it's like, you gave up all that youth, and the big four, they're aging out. So if they do age out and you don't have no youth, now that's going to be a problem. And I can tell you right now, Mike Dunleavy ain't stupid. he ain't going to give all that up for those aging guys and think, oh, you know what, this is going to be a great move because this is going to bring me a title between now and the next two seasons. Nah, Dunleavy is looking at the long-term effect of that deal. And if I'm Dunleavy and I'm looking at that deal, I'm thinking, no, I'm not touching that. I got great youth here, and I got to look at what's going to happen after Steph and Draymond are gone. Okay, so no, I don't do that deal unless I can get something that shows that acquiring him is going to bring something that's going to keep the capital high for us to compete in the next 3 to 4 years. Thanks, guys.
All right, Rich, thank you. Again, this was, by the way, this was not my proposal or my take. This was presenting whether or not this was possible. I called it wildly irresponsible.
Right.
However,
downright reckless.
Yeah, but let me also say this based on what Rich just said. Mike Dunleavy is thinking about what happens after Steph. Oh, no, he's not. No, he's not.
Well, and even if he is, this kind of a call would be from the corner office, so to speak.
Exactly.
This would come from somebody who, I don't know, maybe owns the team. Because if Mike Dunleavy is thinking about the 5 and 10 year future of the organization, that's great, and he should, but at the same time, if the big boss comes down and says, you know what, I am fascinated by this Giannis thing, make it happen.
Make it happen.
Rumor has it Giannis will only come here. So, Mike, figure out how to do it without getting rid of Jimmy, Draymond, or Steph.
Yeah, I mean, again, like all of it is
it's a pipe dream.
It's almost as ridiculous as it sounds, and we understand that. And I'm not saying that Mike Dunleavy is going to be irresponsible, and I'm not saying that he doesn't at times think about 3 or 4 years down the road. My point is the Warriors have made it crystal clear what they're focused on, and what they're focused on is the remainder of Steph Curry's career. They have said it out loud, and they've acted on it. I mean, that's what Jimmy Butler was. Jimmy Butler was not a move for 3 or 4 years from now. Jimmy Butler was a move for right here, right now, Steph Curry, get him a wingman and see what they can do.
And it worked. It worked until Steph got hurt.
They had an amazing
record in the regular year. Then you go on the road and you win in 7 against the 2 seed, and you win the first game and Steph gets hurt. So making that move, which was a bold move, it didn't deter you from maybe making another bold move. It only emboldened you and probably gave you more belief that, you know, you could do something like that again. And if you could keep Draymond, Jimmy, and Steph and add in Giannis, and granted your players 5 through 15 on your team, they'd all be making peanuts. And, you know, they probably wouldn't be that good based on what you're going to have to pay for these people.
They would probably, absolutely probably not be very good. On certain nights they would. Then one person would get hurt, and then you'd be like, oh, God, now we're, I mean,
now we need 30 minutes out of Knox.
Yeah.
Beekman, you got to start. I mean, seriously.
No joke.
Yep.
No joke. All right. We got some more people who want to weigh in on this. 888-957-9570. We're sponsored by Safeway. And yes, I also need your morale for teachers help. Coming up next on Willard and Dibs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.